Okay. This afternoon, I'm going to be kicking off our series on the book of James. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read from James, which kind of makes sense. And I'm going to read from, it's up there if you want to follow it on the screen instead. I'm reading from the ESV, and that's ESV, so if that makes it easier for you to follow, then fine. But it's James chapter 1, verses 19 to 24. And I shall read that. That's what it should be. Yeah, that's what it is. Good. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Okay, let's pray first. Lord Jesus, we want to come to your word and we want to understand it. We want to hear you speak to us through it. And Lord, we want to apply it to our lives. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll be with us. You'll convict us where that's necessary. You'll encourage us where that's helpful too. And that we'll read your word, we'll hear what you have to say to us through it. And we will be more like you as a result. Amen. So this is the first in the series of James. Why the book of James? I hear you ask.
Why the book of James?
Oh, very good. The book of James, because one, it's simple, and two, it's practical. And I find that if something's simple and put out very practically, it means it's easy to apply. And that's where we want to start. We want to be applying the Word of God. Because if we start applying the Word of God, it has a powerful and transformative effect. Not just in ourselves, but to us as a people, as a community. And if you were here a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the fact that this year we want to be a people who are transformed into a people of a much closer community. Those who love one another. Because it's by our love for one another that people will see that we are disciples of Jesus. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want to be those disciples. We want to be in that community. And we want to be able to show that to others, to win them for Jesus. And so if we can look at something that will transform us and take us down that route, then that's a good thing. Now, all of the Bible does that. But I wanted to hit on some very fairly basic things in James to help us get started in what we're looking at. So we're going to look at things like how we treat different types of people, how we speak to people, how faith and works fit together. We're going to look at money, and we're going to look at prayer over the time of this series. There are six in all. Today, though, we're looking at this, James 1, verses 19 to 24. And I've called this application, application, application. Because what we're looking at is hearing the word, but not just that, doing the word. We're looking at applying it. We want to apply the word of God. So we're going to look at what it says about that. You see, reading the Bible, see, I have to be careful how I say this sentence, because if I don't finish this sentence, you'll throw me out. Reading the Bible is pointless unless you apply it. Because if we're not applying it, what's the point? If it's not changing us, what's the point? There isn't a point. It just becomes a book, like any other book. But it's not a book like any other book. We ascribe to this. We say this is the inerrant Word of God. So if this is the inerrant Word of God, it has to have an impact on us. Otherwise, what's the point? There's a Christian writer called A.W. Tozer. And he said this: it appears that too many Christians want to enjoy the thrill of feeling right, but are not willing to endure the inconvenience of being right. What he's saying there is all too often there's a disconnect between our theology and our actions. What do I mean by that? Our understanding and our actions. We read it, we understand it, but then it doesn't change how we act. There's a disconnect all too often. And that's what James is saying here. That's why James is addressing this in his letter, saying there are too many that are hearers but not doers. So that is what we're looking at. It should have an impact. You see, if action does not follow understanding, there's only one thing that will, and that's hypocrisy. Because if we're saying we believe it, but we're not acting on it, that's all it can, that's all we're left with. So action must follow understanding. So what we're going to do this afternoon is we're going to look at effective strategies for change. Now, the word change comes up a lot, and it's often an uncomfortable thing. You think, well, why have we got to change? Now, you know what it's like here with technology? It doesn't always go well. I've tested this so many times. Yes! It worked. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You know this, I'm sure you do. But in Genesis, it tells us that we rebelled against God. And so our image that was once the image of God has been disfigured. It is no longer looking like God. We've been disfigured by sin, by rebellion against God. But through what Jesus did in coming and dying on the cross and paying the penalty for our rebellion in our place, we can be transformed. We are, straight away that we accept that, we are made righteous before God. So God looks at us and he doesn't see the state we're in, he sees the work of Jesus. However, that is true 100%. However, according to Corinthians, though, we're not perfect. We're still being transformed from one degree of glory to another. We are being changed. So change is something that we should be embracing all the time because we're becoming more like Jesus. It's got to be change that's changing us to be like him, not just change for change's sake. And you'll notice here it says, it comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. This is a work of the Spirit. So what does that mean? Does that mean then we can sit down, put our feet up, and just let the Holy Spirit do it? It doesn't. It'd be nice, but it doesn't. Because what James says is we've got to do. There's action needed. And so while the Holy Spirit convicts us of where we need to change, we then need to make a change and ask the Holy Spirit to help us and to empower us to make that a lasting change. And so it goes hand in hand. The work of the Spirit and us taking action goes hand in hand to be people who will change. Okay, that's fine, but to change, we've got to know what we need to change. So therefore, we need to listen. That's what James is telling us. We need to listen. We need something to apply. So we need to get that information, that need, that reason to change, we need to get it from somewhere. So verse 19 of James 1 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." First, we listen. We need to be quick to listen. So what are we listening to? Well, verse 21 then says, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul." What we have to ask ourselves is, what are we feeding ourselves on? What are we hearing? What are we listening to? What are we feeding our minds on? James tells us there are certain things we've got to put away, get rid of. And it should be the word that we're listening to. And this can affect all sorts of things. And this can affect our relationships. You know, who are we? Who are we listening to? Who are we allowing to speak into our lives? Are there relationships you have that are not doing you any good? Are there people you mix with who are not doing you any good? Now, we're told we're in the world. We're not to withdraw from it. We're not to shun everybody that says something that we don't agree with. Sometimes that can be helpful for us sorting out our thoughts on what we really do think. But we have to be careful on what those relationships are. Now, it may be that there are some here that think, that understand that straight away, that think, yeah, I know what you mean. There are others who think, what on earth are you talking about? And sometimes when that drops to your mind, you think, oh, yeah, I think I know that. And I just felt, as I was preparing this, that it was right for me to touch on relationships. It was never going to be a big thing here, but I just wanted to touch on it in case there are those who are thinking, yeah, that relationship I've been pursuing, that person I've been spending more time with than I should have done, is actually not helping me be a hearer and a doer. It's not helpful for me. And in fact, James puts in here, he says, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And I was thinking, well, what's anger got to do with this? And I thought, oh, yeah. The moment you mention something where there's a little bit of conviction, it's defensive, bit of anger maybe. That's what he's saying here. So I don't know whether that was just that for someone particularly, but that's just one of those things, isn't it? That if it is for you, you'll know what I'm talking about with that whole relationship side of things. So to be a listener, we've got to watch what we're listening to. Now, I'm going to come to the Bible in a minute, but James also says, slow to speak. What is he saying here? Well, I could paraphrase this as shut up and listen. That's what he's saying, isn't it? He's saying, be quiet. Just be quiet and let's listen. And we need times of quiet. We need to cultivate times of quiet where we can listen to the voice of God, where we can hear that still small voice. Now, I can honestly say I've never sat down and heard an audible voice of God. There are those who have, and I would never rule it out. It's probably the exception rather than the rule. But we won't know unless we cultivate those times of quiet so we can hear. It's a discipline. It really is a discipline. I am easily distracted. I am easily distracted. Don't laugh too much. It's a real discipline to not get distracted and to focus and spend time with God quietly. But we need to do it. Solitude and quiet. Of course, when we talk about listening and hearing, when James is talking about it in the New Testament here, people would not have had anything like this. A book all nicely bound with all the words in their own language. Of course, they had the Old Testament, but that would have been the scholars who would have then taught them. So listening was the way. But we are probably in one of the most privileged times of history with the books we've got, the commentaries, all the resources on the internet. I mean, it's just phenomenal. We need to be readers of the Bible. Verse 21. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. We need to be reading the Bible. How can we be hearers of God if we're not reading the Bible? Because this is how God will primarily speak to us, because he's spoken. Look, the words are all here. This is the word of God. And I'm prepared to argue that with anybody. I was thrilled with when I spoke a few weeks ago and talked about going through the Bible in a year. The number of people that took that plan was fantastic, and it really did make me very happy, because what it shows is an intent to read. Now, I don't know how those of you who are having a go are doing. I'm 4 days behind this month. Fortunately, it's a plan where you can get up to five or six days behind, so I'm doing all right. I did it all last year and I'm doing it again this year because I just found so much value in it. It's fabulous. And so I recommend it. And you don't have to start on the 1st of January. You can start any time. So those of you who are still thinking about it, go for it. But we need to read it. It's got to live in us. Why? It can save our souls. That's what James says. It can save our souls. Why is that? Surely we're saved already. Yes, we are. But you think every day you're making decisions all the time. What's guiding those decisions? We're not constantly thinking, oh, hang on, I've got a decision to make. Where's my concordance? It's got to be in us. It's got to be implanted. It's got to be living in us. And then when we make those decisions, we think, I'm in the Word. My reactions, the way I decide things, they're biblically based. It takes discipline. It takes years. Let's not be put off by the fact that it's quite difficult at times. Let's go for it. And there are other books, okay? If this is the main course, we also have side dishes. Okay, this is the main course. Let us not be distracted from reading the Bible by other good Christian books. Let's not neglect this, though. Those are a side dish. They're good for us. They're a nice accompaniment. But I encourage you to read. We've got books on the table there that have all been recommended and read by people who have spoken here and preached from the front. So they're good books. Grab them, read them. If you're not sure what to read, ask someone. There are some great books out there that help us understand the Bible, help us understand aspects of Christian living. They're a good resource. And I'd encourage you, read them, borrow them, fill your minds with good stuff. I'm not saying don't read other things. I like a good novel. But it needs to be balanced with lots and lots of the Word of God. So, this is fine so far. We can read it. And so far we've heard James say, shut up, listen, and don't get cross when it says something you don't like. That's what he said so far. That's my paraphrase. But verse 22 to 25 is crunch time. Because he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Looks in the mirror and walks away and thinks, I have no idea what I look like. It is that ludicrous when we've got such good stuff here for us not to let it change us. And then there's a second person. The first person's done that. There's a second person. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The law of liberty. It's the Bible. It's the Word. Looking the Word of God. Notice it says perseveres. Kind of says, look, it's not going to be plain sailing. You're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to try. It's going to be an effort. We've got to try it. It's going to be an effort. It's not just read it. Oh, yeah, I need to change. Oh, I've changed. It's not like that. We've got to explore it. We've got to look at it. We've got to get into it. We need to look at how it's going to change us. And then we've got to go and do something about it. We need to be like the second person in this illustration. Why? Because that person will be blessed in all he's doing. Be blessed in everything and not be like the other one who's deceiving himself. The phrase that comes to my mind when I read this is immediate obedience. It's the phrase that comes to my mind. Because in the end, this is not about our likes and dislikes. It doesn't matter, really, whether we like what's written in here. The fact is, it's truth, and we've got to get on with it. So it doesn't matter about our likes and dislikes. It doesn't matter whether it's easy or not, and there are no opt-out clauses or small print. It's not there. It's just, this is it. And we need to look at it, hear it, decide. Now, we will decide. We're going to decide now whether we're going to walk away and forget it or do something about it. We need that immediate obedience because I am very good at forgetting. And so if I don't act on it straight away, I'm going to have forgotten. And that's not good. So we need to hear, we need to obey, we need to listen, we need to do. We've got to apply it. So, here's one of my favourite phrases. When doing something like this, when applying what we've heard, so what are we going to do as a result of this? We used to get, as a church I was part of, we used to get asked that question every week. So what are you going to do as a result of all this? So what are we going to do? We've heard it. It's quite simple. It's obvious. Like I said, it doesn't have to be complicated or intellectual. All we've got to do is ask ourselves, are we doing it? Are we doing it? Simple or not, are we doing it? Are we putting it into practice? And for me, the simpler the better, because I've got more chance of doing it. And so what I've done is I've put together 6 steps to help us to become doers of the word. Oh, it's still working. The screen is still working. 6 steps. Okay, the first step. Read and listen. Okay, fairly obvious. We've got to read the word. We've got to read the Bible. We've got to listen to trusted people. Not just listen to anybody. Listen to someone you know is guided by the word. And we've got lots of resources, haven't we, available to us. Make time. Make time. We've got to look at our priorities if we're saying, but I don't have time for the word. Got to look at our priorities and take every opportunity to hear something godly, to listen, to read. Now, when you read the Bible, when you listen to something like this or pen and paper or something that you take notes on, is useful. It may be that you write nothing down. That's fine. But at least you've got it there. Because again, I have to write things down. These are helpful for me. I'm hoping they're helpful for you. Because I have to write it down. Because I forget. Now for me, I don't like pen and paper. So I've got a phone that's got a Bible on it. And I can add notes in it and highlight bits. And then I can look at all the notes I've written, and I can look at those and refresh myself on those, and they synchronise with all sorts of things, and I've got access to them wherever I go, and you know, all that kind of stuff. But to be honest with you, and I'm just being honest with you. For me, I like gadgets. You know that. I do. So anything that's going to motivate me is helpful. So the fact that I get to sit here and listen to people preach and play with my iPhone, it's great, but it's with a good reason. But it helps me. So find something that works for you. Because if you say, oh, writing, it's just not for me, then find a different way of doing it. Find one that you're going to do. It's like someone exercising that hates cycling. And they say, I'm going to cycle. No, find something you like. Find a way you can do it. Write it down. When there's a mismatch between what you read and what you do, write it down. When you read something and think, but I'm not like that, write it down. Somewhere you're going to refer to it again. When I'm listening to someone preach, I don't write everything down. I don't write a big outline of everything they've said with every point, because I know I'm not going to read it all again. I wait. Now, for some people, that's what you do, and that's fine. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that doesn't work for me. I listen, and then there'll be something they say, and I think, yeah, I've got to remember that. And I write it down. I just write down the points that speak to me. You do it however it works for you. But get ready to write it down so we're not like that man who looks in the mirror, walks away and forgets. When God just places something, you know, when you're here and you just think, yeah, that's the Spirit convicting me. Or just highlighting something to me. Write it down. It doesn't have to be something you're doing wrong. It can be an encouragement. Something that you hear and you think, that's fantastic, that's really encouraged me. I'm going to write it down, and next time I read it, I'll be encouraged again. Now, that's fine, but here's the hard part. We've got to take action. So, you've got your notes. You've written down the things that you think, yeah, this is for me. Next thing to do is read them again. And write down some actions. What am I going to do as a result of what God has said here? What am I practically, how is this going to affect me tomorrow, tonight, the day after? What am I going to do? So write some actions, an action plan. Now this sounds all very methodical and a bit, but it makes sense. You know, we're supposed to be doers. Pray as part of this. Okay, I've just got the practical things down here. But part of this is praying. Now, sometimes we can hear something, ooh, yeah, I'll pray about that. What that means is, oh, I can't deal with that right now. I'm not going to make a decision. It can. We can over-spiritualise things, can't we, in a way? And we can say, I'll pray about it. Yeah, okay. Do pray about it, but do take action. You know, they go hand in hand again. Pray for the Spirit's help to show you what you need to do. If you're not sure, so you've written something down, you think, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what I need to do. Then point six will help you on that. So we need to take actions. There's got to be results from those actions. We need to look for some tangible results. We need to know that the actions we're taking are actually achieving the desired effect. And if the actions don't work, then you can go, okay, they don't work. I'll adjust it. I'll change it. For example, try to think of an example of this. And I couldn't. This is a really rubbish example. But let's say, for instance, that you think, right, I've got a real issue with gossip. I'm not saying anyone has. I'm just saying, let's imagine. You think, I know, one of my actions is going to be I'm not going to buy gossip mags from the news agents because it reinforces the wrong attitude. Okay, that's fair enough. But you do it and it doesn't help. So what do? You don't necessarily buy them again, but you change your actions. You add in actions. You adjust them. You live with them. You try and make them work for you. But you want to see results. And you want to know that you're changing and be able to see that. Success and failure. Celebrate success. When you have seen that you have changed, when you look back over a few months and think, God's changed me, then celebrate it. I'm not saying be boastful or arrogant, but just enjoy the fact that you have become more Christ-like. We're allowed to be happy about it. We're allowed to celebrate it. If that means you leap up and down, then do it. If it means you buy yourself a bar of chocolate, then do it. I don't know, whatever you do, that treat yourself. Just celebrate it. It's a good thing. If you don't quite get it and you think, oh, I failed again, pick yourself up and persevere. Don't beat yourself up and get all guilty. Because you know what? God is not beating you up over it. God does not beat you up when you trip up. Because there's grace. And God picks you up. And he says, let's persevere. Let's carry on. Let's try again. Just don't give up. Keep trying. Keep persevering. Relationships. Relationships. A few weeks ago, I looked at community and the fact that we're trying to build community, a closer community. We need to grow in this. And I also said that if we don't apply the word in a community and one another context, then our growth will be stunted. We need one another. That's why God put us together. And applying the word takes others with you. Why is that? Well, put some suggestions up here. Provoke. We need to provoke one another. You know, when I talked about us loving one another, that is not a pat on the back, there, never mind, it'll all be okay. I mean, sometimes that's needed. But actually, look at that quote from Psalm 141, verse 5. Let a righteous man strike me, it is kindness. Let him rebuke me, it is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. Those are strong, strong words. Now, I'm not suggesting we all go around thumping each other. Okay? But what I'm saying is sometimes there will need to be difficult words spoken. That is love. That is building one another up. That is helping one another. It's not about criticizing, but it's about loving correction. It can be strong words. It can be painful. But real love for one another sometimes means there are hard things to hear as we grow, as we love one another, as we build with one another. Okay, so we're hitting tough subjects with one another. We need to be accountable. Do you have someone you're accountable to? So you've written down your list of actions. Are you going to say to someone, this is what God's spoken to me about. This is what I'm doing about it. Can you remind me and ask me how I'm getting on with it? We're getting real with this now, aren't we, you see? Because that actually means I've got to do it because I've told someone. And now, I don't know whether he knows this, but I kind of did this with reading through the Bible in a year, because I've been out cycling quite a lot with Jonathan. And we trained for the London to Brighton ride last year, which we completed very successfully. Every now and then we'd be out on our rides early on a Sunday morning. I'd mention that I'm reading through the Bible in a year. And then I suddenly thought, oh, I'm going to have to carry it on now, because he's going to ask me. I'm sure he's going to ask me how I'm getting on with it. I can't remember whether he did, but it helped me. I mean, maybe he doesn't even know that, but it helped me to actually say it. Because then I thought, oh, I've got to do it now, because somebody knows. It's helpful. It is helpful. Encourage one another. Okay, it's not all about saying the hard words. Sometimes it's about saying, do you know what? I've seen you change, and it's been fantastic. And we encourage one another with it. We help one another with it. We do pat each other on the back. There's nothing wrong with that. We celebrate together. It builds community. It builds our love for one another. And of course, this happens in community group. Community groups should be those small groups where closer relationships are formed, which is why we're so keen on getting it right with community groups this year and just making sure that those relationships are there. So we're growing together. Sure, I've got another page. Yeah, we're nearly done. However, the question is, with all of this, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to do and not just hear? Are you willing to set out deliberately to say, I am going to listen and I'm going to do? Because it takes a deliberate decision. This is not something that happens by accident. We have to be deliberate about it. And that really is the main point this afternoon. It's, are you willing to read, to listen to God, and then do what he says? I wanted to kick off the series in James. I know there's a lot on persecution, but Robin covered that before Christmas. And I wanted to start it with this, because some of the things we then come on to later on in the series are things where we may need to change. And we need to understand that we've got to be doers and not just hearers of these things. But also, as I went through this, there were some questions that came up as I prepared it, and I just wanted to leave you with them. I'll put them all up, actually. 6 questions that we need to ask ourselves, really, as a result of this. Let's move out of the way so you can see. Are there any relationships that aren't helping us with this, that we need to get rid of, that we need to look at? Is there any material that we need to get rid of that is hampering us in our walk with God, in our listening to God, in hearing God? Is there any? Are you reading the Bible? Do you have that accountable relationship? Are you willing to change? And then what practical steps are you going to take from this to be a doer and not just a hearer? Now, in doing this, I'm not saying I look around and think nobody does. I know you do. I know that. I've seen that. It's one of those things, isn't it, that we've just got to keep on top of. We've got to keep going with. We've got to make sure that we're doing it all the time. So I want to leave you with those. I'll leave those up in case anyone is writing them down. I'm going to finish by praying, and then we'll finish there. Father, we love your word. We're so grateful for it. We're so thankful for it. We're so thankful, Lord, that you speak to us. It is astonishing that you, the creator of the universe, speak to us and have given us all these words. It's amazing, Lord. I pray you will help us. Help us in our pursuit of you through the scripture. Lord, we know that our pursuit is of you and that the scripture points us there. And that in reading that, there are ways we have to change so we can be more like you. And I pray you'll speak to us, Holy Spirit, that you'll convict us, that you'll show us where we are wrong, where we do need to change. Lord, I pray you'll encourage us where we have made changes and we are doing well. Lord, overall, we want to be more like you. And I pray you'll help us to do that in our daily reading, in our listening to one another, in our relationships with one another, that you will help us to be a people who crave that change of one degree of glory to another. We want to be like you, Jesus, because there's no point in us being any other way. Help us, Lord. Help us, I pray. Amen. Okay, we're finished. Next week is a family together.